committee at 6:30. As the committee has the chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting. Okay, if there's no additions or any concerns or... All right, motion made by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Litz to accept the minutes as written. Okay. Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, before we get into our resolutions tonight, we have a woman here. Her name is Ms. Caroline Fulton, and she is a flood advocate, and she's here about some concerns about Springtown Road in the town of New Falls, that's where they've been having many, many flooding problems with some culvert problems in that area, and she asked tonight with her and some of her friends from the area if she could come and speak and address the committee about this issue, and see what we can maybe do about it.
Okay, I decided the best way to get this across was to give you a lot of pictures, sort of like a National Geographic tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a handout for everyone, and I paper clipped them so that everyone can take them apart and look at page by page. Okay, now the culvert is the culvert.
We're talking about one culvert.
Probably shouldn't just be one, it should be several. But
okay.
We're not talking about the floods that come, the 1% chance of having a big flood every year, or the 100-year flood. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about frequent flooding that happens in one small location. And it's already been quite a problem twice this year, already in this calendar year. And I have photos to document it. Okay, now, the thing to think about with this particular culvert is that water flows through this very small culvert from two directions. It can come from elevated river levels, or very often with heavy rains, it can really course down the mountainside.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not asking for any change for the situation in the 100-year flood, but we are asking to be relieved from the constant problems that are occurring. The first page, you see the culvert. You can see how low it is in the water, and it's also, there's a very high bank above it. Every time the water exceeds the top of the culvert, the whole mass of the road above it acts as a dam. It's stagnant. It's, if it goes high enough, it goes right over the road from 600 to 1,000 feet in either direction. Now, next page, January 11th, there was very heavy rain. Not bizarrely heavy, but heavy rain. And it came down off the mountain. And you can see here, this is the west side of the culvert. And you can see there's a general inundation. And in the top picture, under the water, is the top of the culvert. If you can see that. It's on page 2, the top picture. Or maybe you can't see it because it's so far under the water. I don't know. You know. Okay?
Okay.
So everybody...
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the next page, 3, is the other side. Now, you can see this incredibly strong flow of water coming out, causing like a riptide. And you can also see that the water is nowhere near as high. You see, it's still in the stream bed. It's elevated. It's at least a foot and a half below what it is on the other side of the culvert. Now, in this particular instance, it came almost up to the road, not quite. It didn't cause a road closing this time, but it came up very close. and I think this is a pretty good evidence. And, but I could only take these pictures because I could get there. If they had closed the road, I couldn't have taken these pictures, though. But it was really pretty shocking. I started watching this very closely because of ice shelves. And in the winter, the ice forms like mushroom clouds on the trees, and then it drops a little and it forms again, and it forms again. And I noticed most all of them were on the west side. None of them were on the east side, so you can almost track. And then it gets really warm and they all collapse. But I found it very attractive, and I started watching it closely for different reasons. Anyhow, so you see, this was pretty bad. But then, we had February 24th, and we had a weird thunderstorm. There was lightning, and it was bizarre. I don't know. It was a very odd storm. And the road was closed for more than 3 days. Couldn't get up there. This was taken the 28th, when the barricades had come down. And so I just took it to sort of show. Now, it's a real safety consideration for people, because unfortunately the county road doesn't always get instantaneously out to put up barricades. It's pretty impossible for the county to do that. And I know personally of quite a number of people who have wound up floating in their cars down the road, because not that they see the road dips as it enters this area, which is a really bad thing, because it's very deceptive. You think that at least it looks like, well, it's an inch or two. And it's not. It's deep enough for cars to start to float away. And this has even happened to residents when I've been more aware of it myself. As you drive down the road in the dark, you get down into it very fast, not knowing, even if you're aware of it, even if you know this happens. It's a real safety issue. I have a friend, her name is Barbara Lane. She gave me her written statement. It's on the last page of the handout. There have been a lot of other people who have had this experience, but it is, I think there was an occasion back like 40 years ago when somebody died. But nothing like that has happened recently, and we don't want anything like that to ever happen on our watch. So, anyhow, page 5 is the Wallkill and Gardner, the water gauge there. And I've included this to demonstrate that in the bottom graph, the peak of the water level was 9 feet. And in the top graph, you can see that the minor flood level starts at 13 feet. So this was well below minor flood level, and yet the road was closed for 3 days. Unfortunately, we don't have any gauge closer than the Wallkill or Gardner. That's what we have to use as our reference point. Now, another aspect of this, I spoke with Dave Closer, our town engineer, and he informed me that the dip in the culvert area is 179 feet elevation, but the base flood level is, the base flood level is 188.3 feet. In other words, this road is really low there. Now, I had a conversation with him. I said, if this was reconfigured and a really big culvert, let's say a box culvert, and the road was raised a bit, would that base flood level change? And he said, very likely. But, of course, we'd have to be engineers and do a study to determine that. But for reference, my base flood level is a good 3 feet lower at my home, which is about half a mile north of this. So, not being an engineer, this is the best I can give you in terms of statistics to indicate some numbers behind the problem. And now, the next page, page 10, I was paging through last night of all times, very last minute. And I found this page of the Caledonia County Vermont Natural Resources Conservation Group. And boy, it looked almost like our culprit. Like it has what's wrong with it. Talks about how an undersized culvert creating a powerful flow of water is really a bad thing, and how it creates more ecological destruction. We have been crossed off the list of the DEC for aquatic connection grants because the dam cuts off seals and herring from this particular culvert. So we don't get the benefit of that possible funding, unfortunately. But of course, it's always a matter of water quality, not getting such turbid water around the area.
Now, can I just interrupt you? Now, while you're talking about the funding, so would that, not being able to get any of that funding, would that be the same funding that the town of New Paltz had received, the $3 million? They did a floodplain study, and this area was not in it?
I don't know about that. I had sort of thought that this was the proper place to come since this is a county highway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they may have the...
Why would you sent this from somebody from the executive staff inquiring if you had asked about any of this money? Dennis, can you touch on that at all?
Sure. When you work on New Paltz and the village of New Paltz combined, you got $6 million in a year. I think you folks are familiar with the New York Rising program. And as part of that New York Rising program, they identified a number of projects, including rebuilding a portion of the railroad bridge over that the trail runs on for emergency services, which, to be frank, building a railroad bridge for emergency services to have people essentially access a floodplain didn't make a lot of sense to us. But they also identified a portion of road in Springtown Road, that portion essentially from the other side of the Carmen River Bridge out to Mountain Rest there, as an area needing to be raised. They did not identify this section of road at all.
Mm-hmm.
After numerous public meetings or public hearings, they didn't identify this area at all as a project. That section of road which is a county road, by the way.
Right.
But they did identify there was an estimated funding source of $250,000, which is quite frankly, nowhere near enough. Or if you're talking about a single culvert, then you're on Springtown Road. We're talking about different set of circumstances, and $250,000 may well be enough on that basis. So that's the sort. I think that
thank you.
That's the sort you're referring to.
Yes,
well,
I am. Yes.
I have to admit, all last year I was advocating for a change to the floodplain laws regarding rebuilding our homes.
Okay.
So I was not running around trying to say, why don't you improve the road? I was trying to get, and I did,
right.
I did achieve that, but I wasn't able to, I wasn't able to say, we want to live there and it's not so bad, and then it's always so bad and you have to do something.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get that law changed, so
yeah.
I thought I should come here because it's a county road, and it is your, responsibility. So, the thing is, it seems like for one reason or another, people decide it's not that important. Maybe part of it is that it's a marsh. And as I understand it from a cousin of mine who's a road engineer, he has told me that engineers set culvert levels by the rate of the flow. So if they come by and there's been no big rain and there hasn't been any elevated river level, and they see the water not flowing all that much, they say, well, this is okay. But it's not okay, because every time it rains and every time the river rises, it's not okay at all, because it's water over the road, which is a dangerous condition. So that's for debris and policing and nuisance. And I fell off my deck and cut my head pretty badly, and I managed to get in dial 911. And I was sitting there, and this blood was pouring out of my head unbelievably fast. And I didn't know then that you have an awful lot of vessels up there, and it doesn't mean you're bleeding to death. I really thought I was in trouble. And, and a policeman came in and said, well, what's the problem? And I lifted the towel, and the blood spurted out, and he started yelling and ran out. And then finally, the emergency people came in and they said, well, we're so sorry we're late, but there's water over the road and we didn't know what to do. Fortunately, I wasn't pleased. You know, but this is, it's a safety issue. It really is. You don't want to neglect it and have some really unfortunate thing come to pass someday. So,
right.
And it seems like, you know, the herring and the eel cut us out of that DEC thing, and then, you know, like for one reason or another, maybe we're overlooked because it's a marsh, when it's a very variable marsh, because it's in between the mountains and the river. You know, it's not a big, stable area where the water isn't moving around an awful lot.
Yeah.
And, okay, so I was very interested in this Vermont. Maybe you could call them up and ask them how much this cost. Because it doesn't look like it's $250,000, you know, just raising the road in the immediate area of that culvert zone. Not a lot. Getting more of the water to flow under the road instead of being dammed up and eventually going over the road. Seems like this is something that should be...
Well, we have our commissioner of highway and bridges here tonight, and we have our planner. After tonight's meeting, is there anything that we can send people from our county highway engineer to take a peek at it and see if they can come up with some kind of plan or...
Well, we have looked at it,
okay.
And I know that there was some discussion of upsizing the culvert. It's believed that that's not going to solve the problem because once the river reaches a certain level, the road is going to flood, possibly because of the disc.
But if it floods twice a year instead of 12 times a year, isn't that a lot better?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of, now it floods when you would have no idea that it would be flooded. I mean, you know, like that day when I hit my head. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. I can't imagine why there was water over the road. And I don't know why they didn't know they should go up climb the hill anyway, but they didn't. They sat there and radioed and had to discuss it, and then eventually they got there. But,
Now, phone calls are made to the county highway when this water comes across? To see if they can come out with barricades or cones or block the road. I mean, does anybody call or?
The guy who was the big watchdog couldn't be here tonight, Ray Lunati.
Mm-hmm.
He lives right nearby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live that close. Yeah. No, I'm not a person to.
Yes, ma'am.
I live really close to this. I live close to Ray. There's a couple of things that I want to say, just from what I've heard. So
well, what is your name? Where do you live?
I'm Amy Kletter. I live on 20 Sunrise Lane, which is a main driveway off of Springtown Road. I'm between Clientville and Dove. And a couple of things that I wanted to say was that this gentleman was talking about the area from the bridge up to Mountain Rest Road. When we have flooding, the area that Caroline is talking about always floods first. It floods before anything else floods. That's one comment I wanted to make. Another comment I wanted to make was that I hear what you're saying about people not calling the county. I think for a long time I didn't know.
Well, I didn't say they weren't calling. I was asking if they were calling.
Well, what I'm saying is that whether or not people addressed this before, I think that now we are really thinking about it. We're really thinking about what can we do to address the problem. Because all of us that have lived there have gone through these floods. I have been really, really concerned about the safety. When I first moved there, my next door neighbor was dying of cancer. And, when it was flooded, there was no way, there's no way of getting in and out with a vehicle from where we live when it floods up. So I feel really strong about the safety. So I guess those were the three things. But I feel like people addressed it before. I think it's important that we begin to address it now.
Okay.
And the last thing is the thing about the dam. I mean, we should talk about
Not for tonight, I don't think.
All right, I'll allow this young gentleman here to speak. He just came early.
My name is Ari Sand. I actually have a driveway and the culvert's on coming out of my property. That culvert's collapsing. The thing almost has got bend down and it becomes oval. It's not wrapped even flat on top anymore. It's going down. I think that cave in soon. And it gets all the time, it gets blocked up with the debris sticks and stuff floating down for the thing. I mean, the thing's way too little. I had to put 4 36-inch culverts under my driveway. And that thing adds, like, the thing's like a 4-foot culvert. I mean, how, I think it's ridiculous. But the truth, what it is how small it is.
Yes, sir. Did you want some?
Bob Gabriel, Mike Long, the whole president. That's a lot of years. I'm retired from the Minnesota Police Department. I live on Doug Road. I'm very familiar with the flag that goes on there. The Humboldt Creek goes into the also that location. And it's what they call, you don't have to be an engineer to know, it's what they call a delta problem. If you've got so much water, if you've got 10 water, and only 6 is going into Gazinta, the culvert, it backs up, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So the culvert's insufficient to handle the capacity that's going out there, and we have numerous occasions when it flows over. Obviously, if the flood comes and Noah's building is arc and everything goes up, obviously everything's going to flood. But on many occasions, on most occasions, any of the deluge is preceded by a buildup of water. And so that water, that road, gets flooded before anything else in the town. So it's very infrequent that we all get flooded, but it is very frequent that there is a sufficient amount of water that is not being processed by the water truck, the culvert, so that it overflows the road. And I really think that, and also one other point, Ray Lanati, I was there one time when Ray Lanati was removing debris from the culvert. As a matter of fact, a county truck happened to come by, and I think he called on the dispatch, but he was taking, debris out because it didn't handle, it couldn't handle that. That's our problem.
Legislator Lynch, did you have something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we send a letter to DPW that they do a hydraulic study of the area to properly size the culvert, and also run a profile 1,000 feet on either side of the culvert so we can get a handle on the magnitude of what it would take to raise the road.
I'll second that.
Motion made by Legislator Litt, seconded by Legislator Green to do a study.
Hydraulic.
All in favor?
Yes.
I do understand that the county is going to be doing countywide culvert study, but I think if this motion can accelerate the process and the focus on this particular problem area, it would really be helpful.
Yeah. I would just ask,
All in favor?
All right.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Can I just add a caveat that whoever does the study doesn't do a snapshot, that they are aware of the fact that it is in between a river and a really serious mountains, and that the flow is extremely variable because it's just geology. It's not just a marsh sitting there.
When you do a hydrologic study, they do a 5-year, 10-year, 50-year flood, 100-year flood, and that's how you size the culvert based on that drainage basin. So when they run the study, they'll run all of that.
The 100-year floods that are coming every 5 to 10 years.
Not really. We haven't had one since 2011. Irene and Lee, we haven't had a single one. We have had water over this
section. So we're going to
3011
then.
Yeah. Well, it's the last two pictures. The town put in this big culvert on Quantico Hill Road, and that's an upper reach of the Quantico Creek. So, and then here we have three towns. It just doesn't seem right, does it?
Legislator, thank you for your input.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, people, for taking the time, and we'll definitely get this letter out, and hopefully something will take off from that.
Can I request you send me a copy?
Yes, if you do that, if you leave your mailing address.
It's right there on that.
Nettie will email you a copy of the letter.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yes.
Have a good night. Have a good night now.
And, that's it. Uh-huh.
You're very welcome.
That's that road. There's water there.
All right. Moving on to resolution.
You're welcome.
Tonight we have an issue with six of our resolutions. I was notified by Legislator Garantine from Ways and Means. Resolutions are all approved in the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000. Now, Legislator Garantine's concern is that there is no cap of amount on any of the resolutions, and he is not comfortable with that. He wants a cap amount.
Well, why isn't there a cap?
And I have Susan here from the Highway and Bridges to explain why, and we have Erica here at the council to make sure that what we're hearing is okay. So,
somebody's always checking my work. I'm used to it now. These contracts, and I'll start from the beginning this time, we haven't had contracts for this work before. The bidding for these processes that are for repairing or redoing the roads, we're always bid out by purchasing. As you can see in the contracts, they're based on rates, and whatever work was done was just done based on those rates with the contractor who won the bid. In the bid package, there was some language that was protective of the county. Now, in other words, if you did the job, you agreed to everything in the bid package, and the bid package said, you know, you had to have insurance, and you had to do this and that. Contract management decided that they wanted us to have, you know, regular contracts for this work, which is fine. It's the same process. It's a state-mandated process, competitive bidding, apples to apples, everybody bids the same. We get the rates. So now we have contracts to do work. We do not know which roads. We do not know which process for each road. All we know is that when we tell these folks we need you to do this road and this is the process, they have to do it for those rates. Now, I said this before, it looks like we could spend like drunken sailors, but these six contracts are controlled by the CHIPS funding, which is reimbursed by the state, but that's about $3 million. And a $425,000 capital project for various roads.
Four and a quarter million.
No, various roads is $425,000. They passed the resolution. So these are appropriations that you have allowed us for this purpose. The problem is that because we don't know in February the conditions that the road are going to be in April or May, and we may have to switch around. First of all, we have really no idea how much to put in each one because we're not sure of the processes. But second of all, if we were to make up numbers and put them in here, and in June or July we're in the middle of paving and one of these contracts is not adequate, we would have to come back to the legislature and stop what we're doing until we could get an amendment through.
But if we approve these, then it's open-ended.
No, it is not. It's constrained by the $3 million in CHIPS money that this body has already approved and the $425,000 capital project for various roads which this body has approved. We cannot spend more than what's been appropriated.
I understand that, but aren't you kind of like putting the cart before the horse? I understand why you can't get somebody to come out there and appraise, give you an appraisal on how much it's going to cost them to do the work.
First of all,
don't know what the condition of the road is if they're going to do it in April or May, and they're signing a contract in February. It could get way worse. It could stay the same.
And not only that, but
is that standard?
I understand it, believe it or not. I do understand.
It's perfectly, it's perfectly reasonable that we can't say that absolutely these are the roads we're going to do. If when the frost goes out of the roads, this road that looked like it was going to be okay for another year is not okay. We have to take something off the list and put that one on. It may change the process that we've not the same process.
We're going to change everything, the road, the amount.
We have to. That's the nature of what we do. We are dependent on Mother Nature. And we have to be able to be flexible enough. And we are not asking you to spend more than what you've already told us we could spend. So I don't understand really why this is an issue. Plus, for many, many years, this was done without a document other than the bid package. That's the way it was handled. It was like buying a commodity.
I have a more basic question. We put out RFPs to get these numbers from these contractors.
Not RFPs.
Or bids.
Right.
How do they compare, and why didn't we use the OGS set bids by the state?
I don't know exactly what you mean by that question.
The Office of General Services puts out a bid list.
Mm-hmm.
They do it every year.
Right, and no, I know.
Contractors will bid.
Joe uses that.
For instance, yeah, right. For instance, in-place paving.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say they'll do it for $110 a ton. Mm-hmm. At the statewide bid.
Right.
The county has the rights to utilize that bid for all.
And we do. Joe does use that for what we call mini bids.
So I'm going to assume that the numbers we've gotten are less than the OGS bid prices?
They may be, they may not be, but when we go to do the work, Joe generally does look at those lists from OGS, and if there's someone we can get it from, it doesn't mean, people from Syracuse are on that list. They're not going to do it for the same price as Callahan, who's right here.
I know for a fact that Peckham, Callahan, Gorman, our highway products, or highway pavement, are all on that list.
Okay.
Because I used to utilize the list when I was a resident engineer for the state.
Right. Joe would not buy from, according to this contract, if he could get a better price from the OGS contract.
The list is already out. So you can make that comparison now.
That's a possibility. I don't know that I don't know that he hasn't done it.
Well, he may have. But when the time comes, we would use
the lowest
options.
I would feel uncomfortable that we're going to enter into an agreement or a contract with Peckham Road Corporation, or i.e. anyone. I'm just using that because this resolution is in front of me. For $122 a ton, when the OGS state contract bid that the counties, towns can utilize is at $110.
Right, but that's another argument for not putting a number in here. We don't have to give them any work. Do you understand? This is a rates contract. It's like if you make an agreement with a vendor that if you buy any. It's still a contract. If you buy any, this is the price they're going to charge you. Once they sign that, that's the price. You can buy zero or you can buy $2 million. That's the price.
I agree. So what I would, in my opinion, you put out the RFP, they come back with a number, the bid process. And if it's more than the OGS bid process, you just reject the bids. I wouldn't even go to contract with them because I wouldn't want to give them the false pretense that I'm going to give them work at $122 a ton when I would do it under the OGS bid price for $110. So if you already have these RFPs, or these bids, if you already have these bids, they should be compared to the OGS bid schedule and then not go to contract, just reject all the bids from the ones that are higher than the OGS bid.
Does it say agreeing you have something?
I just wondered, are we talking about all six?
Six.
Okay, two of them
the other two have caps because we know what we're going to
have
done.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, you have something?
I think we need to look at these as a cumulative max of what has been approved by the legislature plus the CHIPS funding.
I do so.
So there is a threshold in place.
Right. Cumulative. I agree with that. Yes.
It's impractical for us to put a threshold in place contract by contract because we don't know if we're going to spend zero or 1 million.
All right, so that was Legislative Tarantino feel better if the words were put in there not to exceed the current appropriations in the 2016 budget? Erica, what do you think?
Can't do that with six contracts because then you have six times what was appropriated.
We can't really do it more than we're funded.
Right.
But maybe there could be some wording that was, you know, it could reference the other five contracts and say cumulatively, these six contracts cannot exceed.
I don't think you can do that either because you're pulling in other vendors into other people's contracts.
So my question to the committee members here is, because there's six of these, I just need to know, and it was just on poll the committee, if you're comfortable moving forward with it this way, or if you're not, and if you're not comfortable moving forward with it like they are, then there's no sense to me reading each individual resolution. We'll just have to send it back to the Highway and Bridges to either reword it or get some tallies for the so I just need her, what's your feeling is what you want to do.
Well, I think there's some wording that could be put in where it says over $50,000 rates per schedule B. Cumulative of resolutions 31 through or 32 through whatever, not to exceed the appropriations in the 2016 budget. Because I have a feeling if we don't do something here in that committee, when it gets to Ways and Means,
oh, they're going to squash it.
Well, that makes sense to put it in the resolution. I thought we were talking about putting it in the contract.
No, in the resolution.
Oh, that makes sense to put it in the... I mean, obviously, if you have these six resolutions and you're constrained by those dollars...
And I think before we even get to that point, these six should be compared to the OGS budget and any the OGS statewide bid. And if there's any in here that are higher, we should just eliminate the resolution. And you can go to contract.
I imagine Joe's a reinsurer, but I will ask him.
And there may not be apples for apples.
Right.
The state
That's
bid.
The other
These
thing.
The vendors were providing, you know, everything.
Flagman, right.
And that's exactly what they provide on the road. Erica?
I just want to make sure I understand what legislator was suggesting. So if you could, legislator, like, what is it that you're saying in Resolution 132, for example?
Every year the state of New York puts out an OGS bid package for vendor place, pavement, for salt, for, and I know the county uses the salt, the OGS salt bid. Because of the quantity, you get a much lower price. And the same thing happens with pavement.
But so what language would you like added to the list, to the description, and let me qualify? I'm looking to see what you want to do for the resolution itself.
For the resolution, in this last column here, in the whereas, over $50,000 rates per Schedule B of the contract, cumulative amount of resolutions 32 through...
It's 132 through 136.
And 138.
And then 138. Total of six.
Not to exceed the appropriated, the 2016 appropriated budget amount. And I think that would probably...
Appropriations, because when you say the budget amount, the budget is... The CHIPS is in the budget. The other is in a capital project. And
right.
There are rollovers for CHIPS.
But that's still part of our budget, right? County budget?
The capital project budget is, but if you don't think it's going to be ambiguous, you can leave it that way. Finally.
Erica?
If I may, it would have to be resolved. because that's what we're limiting these cumulative, you know, in the aggregate amounts.
Okay.
So it would be the aggregate amounts not to exceed those funds appropriated in the 2016 budget. And it's CHPS, right? Not CHIPS.
It is CHIPS, all capital.
Dennis, you have something you want to say?
I was just thinking that if you wanted to and handle...
capital projects.
If you could handle in the resolve section the issues with respect to the human appropriations amount, perhaps if there's concern with respect to the state DOGS bid, you also indicated in the resolve that should DOGS bid be, that bid would be used. That way, everything moves forward, the contracts move forward, you know, because you may run into a situation where somebody defaults on an ODS bid, and then we're back to nothing.
I think you ought to write that one, Mr. Ben, if you're going to make this suggestion.
They rarely do that, because if they do, then they can't get back on the bid again.
Yeah.
So it would just be like cutting their face.
Sort of forces, what it would do is it would deal with your issue, because it would say that it says DPW, by the way, you can't, don't use this contract if the ODS is saying. And then all the contracts move forward, it gives direction on where to go. Then you have a legislative direction about where to go.
But okay. You already have the...
Okay.
The numbers are already
there. Talking over my head. I'm not finished. So I'm trying to make sure that
this kind of simplify. We have 18
so
resolutions
to
tonight.
Tell me.
The aggregate sum.
I got that part. But you're talking about the bid. So you wanted to limit to something about the bid themselves with respect to
OGS. Well, what I was hoping would happen is next month they would come back and say, Peckham Road for resolution number so-and-so, the rate is $122 per ton in place measure. OGS contract is $116 a ton in place measure. And then we would say, well, we don't need the resolution. They can go to contract using the OGS.
No, okay. Well, no. That's not how I understand this to be. So, now, forgive me. So, like, they're trying to contract with these particular vendors.
Correct.
Okay. And so, for them to come back to you and say, that the bids are different, that the OGS amounts are different than what's in here.
The totally different contract, and there's no guarantee. It's a different draft of a contract. I know that contract management uses a different kind of contract for when we buy off of OGS.
When you go to OGS, you don't even have to have a contract. You're utilizing the state's contract to provide services.
Contract management.
Okay, so what I understand that yesterday when we were talking, because we had a meeting about this yesterday per Legislator Jarrington's direction, that you had told me that right now, as far as these contractors are concerned, they have a contract with us pursuant to the bid.
Well, they've been given a bid award letter.
And they have a contract.
Well, they don't. These are the contracts.
Okay,
they haven't been signed.
But in the past, though, they would have been.
In the past, that award letter would have obligated them to sell to us at that rate if we chose to buy it. And that's what we have right here. They will sell to us at that rate if we choose to buy from them.
So right now, so at this juncture, from what I understand what you're saying to me, is that even if we sign this contract with these people, you can change a... exercise your prerogative and say, I'm changing my mind, and not go with them per se.
Right.
You go with a different contractor.
Right, or we could say to them, we can get this off the OGS agreement for this rate.
Can you match?
You
can match it.
And there's no reason why they wouldn't.
But wouldn't you have to amend the contract since we already have the rates in Schedule B?
Yeah, well.
But then, okay.
That's why it's unclear to me, because I haven't had this conversation with Joe. I don't know why they would give us a rate that was higher than what was in the OGS schedule, because that would be foolish.
If I were in business, I would, because I want to maximize my profit. But I don't think you need to append it into a separate contract, because New York State already has a contract with them for that price.
I got you.
And we piggyback on that contract.
But we do still need our own contract.
What the policy of the executive's office through the county attorney and contract management is they want contracts for everything, for all services that they are engaging every contract, for every time we're engaging services, they want a contract to protect the county.
But they have one already.
Well, not like this.
Issued by the state of New York.
But it's
terms and conditions maybe slightly different.
But that's how not
we,
our
how we buy our salt. We buy it off the New York State ODS contract.
I don't think we are. I think we're actually getting a better price than that.
There's not the same risk involved because there's no labor involved. They're delivering a product, dumping it, and driving it away.
Okay,
ODS
for paving is increased measure. So whatever it takes for them to put it, pave it, compact it, and walk away from it and hand you a finished product is what they have to do for that road. So it is comparing apples to apples.
Manager Jill?
Yeah, given what I've heard in the conversation, it just seems to me that another part of the resolved or a second resolved should say, as long as it doesn't exceed the current OGS bid. You know, the OGS bid at the time that you're about to award the contract. Isn't that what you're, and I think Dennis suggested that too, so.
Okay. So do we have the wording in place for the change,
Arthur?
I'm
trying. Okay. I'll have to ask Joe, because the way I see it is that I don't know why we would be contracting with people for more than what's on OGS, and if we are bound by this to go with OGS, there may be a circumstance that prevents us from doing what we need to do. And I'm only saying that because I'm new to this and I don't know. So,
okay, what's the committee's pleasure now? We're going to change, do a resolve, and then move forward with them? Is that what this committee wants to do? Pete?
I'm still a little bit confused. If that's what you want to do. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that, but I understand what Herb says, too, to some degree.
Well, Herb's thing makes a little bit more clear, and I think with Herb's thing, then you'll have a better chance with Ways and Means than if we...
Well, the other part is if we send it out of here...
The way it is now, it's just going to get clogged with Ways and Means. With Herb's suggestion, I think it has a chance at Ways and Means. That's the only thing.
I just don't know if it's workable right. The way you're wording it. That's okay. All I'm saying. Just because I need...
Well, can you do this for the next meeting and have it all in writing how it's going to be? Because if they write it wrong, or something, you're trying to get it done in a hurry.
Why not? What do you mean, another session?
We'll just meet real quick to approve it.
Well, I
is that satisfactory with you, Sue?
It's fine with me. I mean, if you want me to consult with Joe and then talk to Erica and whomever you want me to talk to, so that we can accomplish what you want in a resolution and still get the contract.
As long as
And we're bound by law to do that, so I don't think that there's a chance that we're not doing that. But
I would like to see the language drafted, and then if there's a problem with it, let us know. So you're thinking of having a quick meeting
before legislative session.
That's fine, but I just want to...
There are only six resolutions, and they all say the same exact thing.
Right. So you're just going to be happy with the language.
Yeah, that's true. We have Why do you want to go to Ways and Means first?
They probably won't do it unless they won't pass it until you do.
We have a caucus next Tuesday, and then there's a special meeting. We'll do it next Tuesday.
Okay.
And we can meet in a little side room here.
Okay.
At what time?
And can you send the language to the members?
Oh, absolutely. I'll send it
so that we know what we're looking at before we get here?
Yes.
Sounds good. And you'll send it to me so I can review
with
Joe?
Okay.
Right, you can work that out.
Caucus is at 6. I just wrote it in here. I would 6 o'clock. But I don't know if Mr. Sudlow is talking to us before caucus or after caucus.
Before.
Just before?
Yep.
So he'll be at 6?
Yes.
So we can meet at 5:45.
committee.
I was going to say if we could meet right after his presentation prior to caucus.
Oh, right after him at 6?
Yeah, it's a 6 is tough for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I understand.
6:30 is easy. I say easy. I can make it.
So right after Bob speaks,
yeah,
just we maybe a company in the side room will take care of it and go to
the
okay.
Provided by the
eight.
Can I just offer this really quick?
That is the 8.
It's the right, I wrote, it would be a second resolve that the advocate amounts of the contract subject to resolutions 132, 133, 134, 135, 136, and 138 shall not exceed the amount appropriated in the 2016 budget and provided by New York State through CHIPS. This is probably some better.
It's the Highway Improvement Program. I can't remember what the first
comprehensive.
That's it. The Highway Comprehensive Highway Improvement Program. That's New York State program.
Highway Improvement. Okay. So then, does that work for you? And then you want to something about the bid?
I think you also have to put the capital.
Well, she said the appropriated in the 2016 budget, which
would have been simple.
But the other part of it was that
the ODS,
that none of the bids that you just listed would exceed
schedule B of the contract. Not to exceed that there are variations,
the rates in the contract.
Well, we have the rates for these, right?
Yes.
We have those. We know what OGS rates are. Why don't you include that in your email?
Pull the ones that are ahead of time. Then we don't even have to put that in.
Resolution 32 has a rate. 133 has a rate.
In the contract, so not the OGS. Right. The contract.
And a separate column for the OGS rate.
You may not.
We'll know when we vote where we stand.
The other thing is
can
that
provide that to you.
Have you looked at any of these contracts, any of the rate schedules?
Okay,
because they're different by zone also. Because if Calian is near the road that we're working on, they give us a better price for that zone than they would if they went to Ellenville and did work for us. So their rates are not consistent throughout the county.
How about the rates? Provided the rates paid by such contracts shall not exceed those rates provided for by OGS. Does that work?
I have to ask Joe that because I don't know, I'm not that familiar with the OGS contract and the terms and conditions. And like I said, it may be that, you know, on some roads we get a better rate because their plant is right near that road and the blacktop is coming from someplace nearby. And then in Ellenville the rate is maybe higher than the OGS because they have to travel further, they have to truck the blacktop further. It's complicated.
No, I get it.
Okay,
I'll come up. I'll try to find something.
Yeah, the speaker has to leave at 20 minutes to 8, and we've got 18 resolutions here.
You done with me now?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
Eric, are you communicating with me too? Absolutely.
All right, so 132.
Thank you. 132, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8. Yep.
I make a motion that we postpone those resolutions to a special meeting to be held on March 8th.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Motion carries. Yeah, in that side room.
Okay. Now, I'll make a motion on resolution 137 for the sake of discussion.
Okay, I'll read the resolution first. Resolution number 137, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County G Stabilization International LLC, Department of Public Works.
slope stabilization is nearly serves as adjacent to County Roads 81, 92, CR 47, 101, CR 46, and CR 42. Close to $525,000.
You can use a second.
What?
You can use a second. A second. For discussion.
Anybody have anything? If not, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
We'll move it.
Second. Motion made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 139, approve the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the County Gotham Refining Chemical Corporation Department of Public Works. Moved by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Litz for discussion. Maintenance and treatment of clothes.
This is for Legionnaires.
Yes. $84,825. Appropriated money. I'll move it.
Second.
Second by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 152, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NYCRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act, secured by the Ulster County Legislature for the replacement of the Carmine-Libertook Bridge on New York State Route 299 over the Walk Hill Capital Project 458, Department of Public Works.
Move for discussion. I just want to say that I did look pretty carefully just now at the backup to the neg deck, because I'm always a little cautious for negative declarations. And this is an historic bridge, but been pretty badly damaged, needs to be replaced, and everything else on the neg deck makes sense.
So you're moving it?
Yes.
Motion made by Legislator Green, seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
All motion carried.
I'd like to see pictures of if that's what you have.
I do have some pictures. This is a good indication of the area where the bridge is going. This is the temporary bridge is going right in here. From both sides, if you look at some of the other, this is the current bridge is just above the flood line. This is the flood stuff we're going to build it about 18 inches higher. So we should have, some pictures of that and have a anybody does copies.
Resolution number 153, amending capital project number 458, the Carmine Liberty Bridge on Route 299, where the Walk Hill River is New Falls, funding the construction phase, Department of Public Works and Highways. This is being bonded. Motion made by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Resolution number 155. Authorizing the acquisition of a temporary right-of-way over certain real property for the purpose of replacing the Carmine Liberty Bridge on
New York State Route 299 over the Wallkill River, Department of Public Works. Discussion? If not, I'll ask for a motion to move it.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Litz.
I will say it's very nice that the locals are donating the easement at no cost.
Yeah, that is. You don't see that too often.
No, you don't.
Seconded by Legislator Lauren. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 156, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NYGRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act, SEQR, by the Elton County Legislature for the extension of the public water supply line to SUNY Ulster Campus Capital Project 469, SUNY Ulster County.
Motion
to
discuss. Motion
second. Okay. Any questions for Dennis?
I had a copy of the bank deck.
This is the shortest leg, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. That's the copy of the bank deck.
So this is the preferred alternative?
That's correct. Okay.
I'll make the motion. Motion made by Legislator Litz. To approve it, seconded by Legislator Lauren. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 157, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an easement with the Theaconda Retreat, originally allowing the county as local sponsor for Ulster County Community College access to privately owned real estate in the town of Marbletown for purposes of running a water line through and authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to tender payment for such an easement.
I'll move the discussion.
Second. Unfortunately, the date isn't donated. I'll move it. Motion made by Chairman Fabiano, seconded by Legislator Lauren. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Hey, this committee's been kept pretty busy the past 2 months.
Yeah.
And you too, Bill.
All of us.
All of us.
It's only going to get busier, though, I think.
Yeah, as the weather gets nicer, right?
Yeah.
Resolution number 158, establishing capital project number 473, building a better Ulster County infrastructure investment program, construction of various shoulders, the 2016-2021 capital program, Department of Public Works, Highway and Bridges. They have attached the shoulders of work that's going to be done. A bond resolution will be required, $250,000.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Motion for discussion.
I'll second it.
Second it.
I noticed in the work on excavating 4 inches deep and putting 4 inches of binder in, they're not utilizing any subbase at all.
Apparently not.
It depends on the location of what, you know, what might be there for.
Yeah,
without subbase. You know, put a good foundation under a house, it falls apart pretty quick. And it's cheap comparatively.
It says binder. Oh, that's for the house.
Yeah, the binder is there.
Box house, shoulders, roof at wide and 4 feet deep.
I'll entertain a motion to move it.
So move.
Motion made by Legislator Lauren, seconded by Legislator Manager Joe, did you have a question there?
Well, I just want to be sure Herb's question was answered.
Well, without subbase, if you want to vote against this. You probably won't need subbase everywhere, but I'm sure you're going to need subbase somewhere. Especially as you go up, I know that in front of Mr. Franke's house, and that section is very wet. received just on whatever's there. I mean, Gene, you know. Unless you got a good...
You thought we liked number two stone or item four?
Item four.
Item four.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Somebody got four in the packet and then put their asphalt on it.
Right. I mean, you could still go with the dense binder.
Oh, yeah.
And then top it with your 1A toppers, type 7 or whatever.
Actually, you don't even have to. It means
it's on your shoulder.
A 19-millimeter binder course is going to be fine for a shoulder.
Right.
For bike width, you know, shoulder.
I'm sure they have their reason.
All right, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Second motion made by Chairman Fabiano, seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor? Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
I just, you know, this is something where I really trust legislator with knowledge of the industry. Just voting no, if I vote no, that means that there's not enough votes to pass it. I know we're in the middle of a voting process, but is there anything you can say to assure me that...
the only thing that I can say is, for what it's worth, it is on the shoulder of the road. I mean, it's not your main... My guess is that it will hold.
And the other thing that I would add is that Joe knows what he's doing, and if Joe is comfortable with this,
right.
I have to say that I'm comfortable with it. He's been at it a long time.
If it needs boxed out a little deeper and stoned out, it's absolutely legal.
Right.
We're not going to put blacktop on top of the road.
Actually, what made me feel better is if there was a contingency or even under the qualifications that if the existing upgrade wasn't adequate, that item four would be placed and even put a dollar value in, like throw $5,000 in or $10,000 or whatever dollars in to cover that cost. But there's no provisions in the contract that you can do that.
Well, this isn't really the contract. This is establishing a capital project. We don't have, this was just for purposes of estimate.
The real general
guarantee. Thank you.
Okay. This is
the
contract. It's funding the capital project, so
we'll
put it out too.
Okay, so I will make a motion to amend the resolution to want me to add a capital project that there be a contingent value for item 08304-06, which is our sub-base item, right?
Value for sub-base?
Yeah.
For sub-base? Okay. And the resolution...
Where needed.
Okay,
I'll second the amendment.
Well, now you have...
Well, we have a quorum still.
Yes.
Okay, and you have five on the committee, so we can pass.
So, just to be clear, I voted no prior to the amendment. We're now amending it.
Right.
And then I can vote yes.
That's correct.
I'm not sure I understand what's going on. This is funding the capital project for $250. This was a quote just to give an idea of what...
And then have that semester.
So that we could give you the $250. So we have the $250 in there. This will be put out to bid.
Yeah.
In the bid will be the specifications for the work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we will include the information about sub-base if needed. It doesn't seem appropriate to put it in a resolution to fund a capital project because this has...
Right. There may be areas where we even choose to do this work ourselves. If you look on the last... the attachment proposed DPW various shoulders capital. There'll be a whole bunch of variables. There might be distance that needs relocated slightly. There might be a piping that needs put in. So all of those weren't identified in this very preliminary estimate.
So then why don't we just leave it at its original? I mean, I'm confident that the proper changes will be made if necessary along the way. I cannot foresee our people going through
and seeing something and just turn a deaf ear to it or a deaf eye to it just for the, and like I said, it's a shoulder. It's,
if it's just to create a capital project, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
But in the future, when you give us a proposed DPW workup, just include the work that you're going to do and try to make it as close to what you're going to do as you possibly can.
As I understand what Legislator List is saying is, you know, what I think you made reference to the foundation. In other words, even if it is the shoulder, you don't want to have to be repairing it any sooner.
Right. And I totally agree with that. That's true. Okay,
okay,
so the resolution is as stands.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye. I know in the class it'll be pretty good. My dad and I put in the utility work from Gardner to Rosendale, and we went across the flats.
Mm-hmm.
There is a telephone line, buried telephone line, just off the edge pavement, so, but it should be down like 18 to 24 inches, so we shouldn't conflict it with the...
yeah, he did vote on the original.
You need to re-vote.
Resolution number 160, establishing capital project number 474, reconstruction of various parking lots, amending the 2016-2021 capital program, Department of Public Works. The parking lots are listed.
Let's move for discussion.
Move for discussion.
I'll second.
Okay, it's the courthouse on Wall Street, court, substation, probation, Ulster County Pool, Trudy Resnick Building, Ulster County Office Building, and Golden Hill Complex.
That's the 5-year capital plan.
Right. Right.
This year, what we're looking to do is
right.
Courthouse.
Just courthouse. $150,000, I believe, mm-hmm. in bonds.
They're just milling off, what, 3 inches and putting back through.
Move the resolution. Are we ready?
Yes. I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Chairman Fabiano and seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 162, establishing capital project number 475, building a better Ulster County infrastructure investment program, slope analysts and stabilization, 2016-2021 capital program, Department of Public Works, Highway and Bridges. I'll move this to discussion.
Second.
Anybody got any questions?
This is to do a study at various locations to come up with some sort of engineer's
opinion. It's for the engineering and the construction. And again,
and it's
just establishing the capital project.
I'll entertain a motion to move it.
We have both locations. I mean, yeah, I guess we do. I like motion.
Motion made by Legislator Litz.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, two more to go. Resolution number 164, establishing capital project number 476, 478, building a better Ulster County infrastructure investment program for various bridges, 2016 bridge replacement program, highway and bridges. With discussion? Okay, this is for...
This is Orcott, Jesse Wolven, and Woodland Valley. These are
the
core 10 bridges that
right.
we're chipping away at. We have like 40 some left. So we're supposed to do another three this year.
Okay, I got one in charge of these, I think.
I don't know how they call that bridge that. So we put superstructures on?
Hi.
So they're really not doing any substructure work, it's just replacing the superstructure.
Existing foundation.
Yeah.
And they'll all be pretty similar at first.
How long are they?
Any of them close to 50 feet?
No takers.
Oh, no, I got a couple takers today. Sullivan County called and they want the bunch of... Bridges Steuben called, they want 8 or 10.
I'll entertain a motion to move this. Moved by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Green, all in favor?
Okay.
Motion carried. And our last one. Resolution number 168, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NYCRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act seeker by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of the Kingston Rail Trail Capital Project number 334, Department of Planning. I move for discussion.
Second.
A whole bunch of good information here.
This is the section up to but not including the
stretch from Washington Avenue out to the town of Hurley parking lot on Route 209.
Okay, so that's the trail
right.
in the section that, at least according to the last results of the Corridor Advisory Committee and the resolution that followed, that section is viable rail, so that's a rail with trail.
No, it's,
oh, this
it's,
is the bypass.
It's
okay,
not on the
O&W.
Yes. It's not on the O&W.
Got
it.
All right, so are we still in the session?
Yes.
Are you looking for a motion?
No, if you have any.
No, that, I just needed that clarification.
Herb, you have any questions or comments?
No.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion. Motion made by Legislator Green.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Litz. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Anybody have any old business?
I just would like to say that if there's any way that the actual RFP at the college can include both design and construction of design and construction separately.
The college.
I'm not sure if that was clarified.
Water supply? No, she's talking about the pedestrian.
The community health.
Oh, we haven't. What happened with that?
Nothing yet. We don't have the.
enough information from the engineer to...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know that we were following up. And we were just wondering if maybe it's something, because of the size of the bridge, if it could be done in house. So our people, it's 20 feet right. long or 15 feet wide, whatever it is.
Maintenance of college provided me with some very preliminary information from Bernier and Larry, it's not enough to, to really go by.
Yeah, I just think that if we could do something like that,
we'll take a look at it and see what our schedule will allow.
Maybe we can save some money, I'll have to spend all that money from an outsider if we can do it right now. They always have an excellent bridge crew.
When they do that, do they get half that money back from the state? So, I mean, if they were to bid it out and it was $200,000, they may only pay $100,000. If it costs us $125,000, that's not any savings.
Yeah.
So we have to think about that. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, you can get savings. There's a lot of those companies that make the prefab ones, like Contact.
Where, I think that's what they're looking at.
Yeah. So you could save probably $30,000 worth of engineering costs, because Contact will come out, we'll put the dimensions, go back and design it, the e-design, and then supply the unit. What we found is when we have a consultant on board for that, the consultant goes to Contact, gets their design, charges $20,000 to $30,000 for it, and Contact supplies the bridge. So, and we could save the engineering costs if they want to. All they're going to go in that room, just to contact them.
I thought it was pretty elaborate. Doesn't it have, like, sidewalks and...
It is some kind of...
I didn't see it, but I remember seeing the paperwork that came in that said it's not...
They do some very ornate work. I mean, if you look at the walkway or the rail trail that gets you over Route 55. There's a pedestrian and equine bridge over the Taconic State Parkway. They're all very nice, very ornate, and they're all designed by the company that builds them. So they can save $20,000 or $30,000 on
the one on the ONW down Marvel over the Purple Bush Creek. I think that's a contact bridge.
Okay.
It's hard to beat because they're very economical.
They all different sites.
And they do.
Yeah, they do all different things. They did the one over Mountain Rest Road. From Long Preserve, the one that we reeled out over Mountain Rest Road, I think that's the contact
person. It's very similar to the one we did.
If there's nothing left, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Motion made by Leonard.
Oh, wait a minute. Did we get an update on the old business?
The Chidaquee Lake, I can tell you that we had a discussion about this. I think Joe and Ed and Andrew maybe went down and looked at it. It's a little more than what, originally we were thinking the rock could come out of it. It's a little more elaborate than that. So we're trying to look at other possibilities. Now, we talked before about a signal light, stop signs. So these were some of the things that that we were talking about. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I know that if we're going to do the rock, we have to do something with the road. That was the last that I understood.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's a little bit pricier than what we anticipated.
Realignment, right.
Right.
Close to 200 feet.
Yeah, and I actually drove it yesterday and the day before, and I stopped. We just looked at it, and I mean, it's an easy one to go. Just line it up, but you're right. You take the rock out, and then you have to move the roller for about 4 feet.
Right, so we're still struggling with this, and we will continue to try to figure out the best. Did you get anything? And then Mount Marion. I think I did speak to you about that. We had a conversation about Mount Marion. Malvern Turnpike.
Yes.
Mount Marion, sorry.
Yeah, that's an unknown in that situation.
And that's the problem for us. Okay. We go, it was not eligible for CHIPS last year. This year it is. So we have it on the list, on the CHIPS list.
Is it worth paving over with all that problem?
Or if we can get them to do something, I don't.
Okay.
So I talked to the county executive.
Yeah, and that's been on all day before you came here.
Right.
You know. I expect that happened, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think you can let the road deteriorate.
No, you're going to have to make some kind of move.
Yeah.
Kind of, and I'll make my constituents know that that is the issue. It's been the issue. And that's not entirely the county adults' fault.
Right, the freeway authority is involved in it.
Yeah. That's New York, or that's all
the time.
And you're going to recycle this paper, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Soon as I get home. Do you know I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So we'll move by legislative, second by legislative Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries. Thank you so much.
Thank you, folks.